أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Continuing with the life of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, we find now that the tribes of Banu Qinaqah and Banu Nadir, who were expelled out of Medina for causing havoc, had settled in Khaybar. This is a distance of about 80 miles northeast of Medina, and Khaybar literally means a fortified place. The valley of Khaybar was sort of dotted with fortresses which were on rocky hills, and there were about 10 of them. They had certain names to them. There was Na'im, there was Qamus, which is on a hill of the same name. There was Katiba, Shiqu Natat, Wati, Sulamil, of which Qamus was the most fortified. And from these forts, these tribes were constantly plotting to attack the Muslims. And they tried little skirmishes all the time, always coming out to come and attack the Muslims at any chosen opportunity that they had. The Prophet decided to stop this once and for all. And in Muharram of 7 after Hijrah, with 1,400 soldiers, they surrounded all the forts. Now, in the course of about a month, all the forts were defeated, and an agreement was reached with the Jews of Khaybar. Their lands and movable property were left in their hands. They were allowed to practice their religion freely, and in return of the protection they would receive, they were required to pay half the produce of their lands. And the Prophet maintained the right to turn them out of their lands if they caused havoc again. The Battle of Khaybar is very important, for it put an end to this resistance movement from the Jews, and for the first time a non-Muslim people were made protected persons of the Muslim Commonwealth. And it was on the same day that Ja'far ibn Abi Talib returned from Ethiopia, and the Prophet said, "I don't know on which blessing of Allah I should thank him more, on the victory of Khaybar or on the return of Ja'far." A piece of land called Fadak was gifted to him by one of the tribes, and he gave it to his daughter Fatima Zahra alayhi salam. This land was to prove to be a matter of contention after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, according to the terms of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the Muslims could now visit Mecca. So in the year 7 after Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Dhul Qa'dah, accompanied by 2,000 Muslims, visited Mecca for Umrah. They stayed in Mecca for 3 days as agreed by the treaty and returned back. In the following year, the envoy that was sent to Syria, remember, was killed by the Romans. And this caused a lot of animosity. It eventually resulted in the Battle of Mu'ta, and this was fought near the village of Mu'ta. Now, before the Prophet sent his army there, he made specific laws or conditions that they had to adhere to. He told them, "You will not touch anyone in their places of worship. You will not lift your hand against a woman, a child. You will not kill any woman, a child, or any old person. You will not destroy any green trees either." Well, east of the Jordan River in Qaraq, this is where they met. There was a 20,000 strong army of the Byzantine Empire, and it was a fierce battle. It was in this battle that Ja'far ibn Abu Talib was killed. When the news reached Mecca, the Prophet was grieved to know that both his hands were severed. And he comforted the family by said that he had seen Ja'far in his dream, and instead of his hands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him wings. And thus he was then known as Ja'far al-Tayyar, or Ja'far the one with wings. In the same year, The Banu Bakr, who had signed the Hudaybiyah Treaty, killed a man from one of the tribes that was allied with the Muslims. When the Quraysh found out about all this, because the tribe had sent a deputation to the Prophet, they were alarmed. They sent Abu Sufyan to Medina to reconcile the Muslims. His deputation was futile because the treaty that they had signed had been broken. The Prophet decided to go to Mecca. He summoned all his allies from all quarters to meet him in Medina. He got them all together, and arrangements were made to march to Mecca. As the balance of power had shifted radically away from the once powerful Mecca in January 630 of the Common Era, which is 9 after Hijrah, the Muslims marched to Mecca. Tribe after tribe joined them along the way. And the Prophet entered Mecca almost unopposed with thousands of Muslims. And this was on Friday, the 20th of the month of Ramadan, 8 after Hijrah. The city which had laughed and mocked him, who had ruthlessly persecuted him and his companions, ultimately driving them away. Now the same city lay at his feet. The Prophet cleaned the Kaaba of all its idols, and then he ordered Bilal to climb on the rooftop and give the adhan. The wordings of the adhan, coupled with the fact that it was called by a freed black slave, caused a lot of heartache to those of the Quraysh, whose hearts were entrenched with racism. The Prophet then gave a sermon, and he recited the verse of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha. Indeed, we have created you from one man and one woman. Wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qaba'ila lita'arafu. And we've made you into tribes and communities so that you recognize each other. Inna akramakum indallahi atkakum. The most honored in the eyes of God is the one who is the most God conscious. Inna allaha alimun qabir. Allah is knowing and aware. Having dwelt upon the equality and brotherhood of humankind and stressing upon the monotheism of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he inquired from them. He said, descendants of Quraysh, how do you think I should act upon you? With kindness and pity, gracious brother and nephew, they said. The Prophet said, I shall speak to you as Yusuf spoke to his brothers. There is no reproach against you today. Allah will forgive you. He's the most merciful and the most compassionate. This is ayah 92 of Surah Yusuf. قَالَ لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And then he said, go, you are free. Makkah lay at his feet. Not a single house was plundered, nor anybody insulted. Cruelties, insults and oppression that had gone on were forgiven. The Muhajireen were asked even to forego their houses and properties, which on their migration to Medina had been occupied by the Meccans. The Prophet did the same. He lived in a tent for a few days before going back to Mecca. His house in Mecca was taken by squatters. And throughout history, look anywhere, you will not find a conquest like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the last complete surah of the Quran that came, which was Surah An-Nasr. Allah says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Idha ja'a nasrullahi wal fat, wa ra'aita an-nasa yadkhuluna fi dinillahi afwaja, fasabbih bihamdi rabbika wastaghfir, innahu kana tawwaba. When there comes the help from Allah in victory, and when you see human beings entering the religion of Allah in groups, then celebrate the praise of your Rabb and implore His forgiveness. Surely He is the oft-returning to mercy. Inshallah, we will continue with the life of the Prophet.
ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم.